He did it all.
Well, I bring greetings from Brother Jim. He texted me this morning, and he had texted me 4 or 5 days ago, and I had my phone on silent. I didn't even know he texted me, so I texted him back this morning. We had a little dialogue, so he told me to greet you guys and sends his love, and him and Nancy both. So just wanted to pass it on. And Jean-Claude, of course, always says to greet you all in love, and just a dear brother. And please keep him in prayer with the mission that he does. They're over in Africa and in Haiti, and doors are opening to different places, and it's such a blessing that the gospel's going forward. So if you can remember him before the throne of grace, that would be wonderful. Today we'll be in Isaiah chapter 32. Lately in the news, there's been quite a bit of news about storms and things happening and around the country, different tornadoes and things like that. And you know, man always wants to find refuge during a storm. You want to find a hiding place. Well, today we're going to look at Christ, our hiding place. Christ, our hiding place. Isaiah chapter 32, verses 1 and 2. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. And princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be in hiding place from the wind, in a covert from the tempest. There's rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Christ, our hiding place. What a marvelous text we have before us. It speaks of our Savior. It speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at verse 1 first, and then we'll look more in depth at verse 2. It says, Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. Beloved, this speaks of our wonderful Redeemer. Our wonderful Redeemer. He is King of kings, and He is Lord of lords. Psalm 2, verses 6 and 7 says this, Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will decree the decree. The Lord has said, Thou said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Oh, Christ is a king. And this text before us speaks of our king. And he is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a particular joy of God's people that their king is lawfully sovereign. It's by God's decree that he's king. He's our redeemer. He's our mediator between God and man. He's the only mediator we have, and he's been appointed by Jehovah. He's God. So let us keep this view of Christ as the head of the church and as the king of the church. He rules and he reigns. Let us keep it in remembrance because it'll bring us great joy and peace. And we need peace. The world beats us down. The storms of life beat us down. So let us keep this in remembrance. His reign as king too is a reign of grace. It's a reign of grace. He reigns in righteousness. Turn with me if you would to Jeremiah chapter 23. He reigns in righteousness. He is the Lord our righteousness. Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. And a king shall reign and prosper. This is speaking of Christ. And shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. He's king. He's the Lord our righteousness. And he reigns in righteousness. Oh, he's a great king. A mighty king. And this brings us great joy. And brings us great peace. Knowing that he's in control. Knowing that he's sovereign. Let's look at verse 2 now. Of chapter 32 in Isaiah. And the man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Here in verse 2, we have our hiding place. Our hiding place. And it's only in Christ. We have Christ proclaimed. And remember when Paul and John and Peter and the disciples were preaching, all they had was the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament. And they preached Christ. So therefore, he's all through the Old Testament. All through. A man shall be as in hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest. God became a man. God of the universe, who we sang about in Holy, 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 became a man and dwelt among us. Oh, what condescension. He became a man. And here in our text, we view him as a shield. Remember the soldiers, the Greeks and the Romans, they would put their shields up. Brother John and I were talking about how they would lock their shields together. And the shields would be a defense. Christ is our shield. He's our shield against 10,000 trials. Against anything that comes. He's our shield. He's our defense. He's our high tower. Here's a good illustration from biblical times that I found for this. About Christ being our hiding place and our shield. We cannot easily imagine the fury of storms in the Middle East. Granite and iron columns are snapped in two. The largest trees are torn up by the roots. Houses are tossed about like straws. And at sea, whole fleets are cast away. And this is during biblical times. Middle Eastern storms are terrible in the desert. Mountains of sand are lifted up and dashed down. Sometimes burying whole caravans when they would go in their caravans, burying them. And even whole armies. Now picture a traveler in this case. After a strange stillness as he looks and he sees this storm approaching. He sees a cloud of sand rising up in front of him. And he's horrified. The sky becomes dark and the earth and heaven seem totally covered. Destruction rides on every blast. It's fury coming right at him in his fury. And the poor man stands horrified as the storm of doom comes. Oh, for a shelter. Oh, for a shelter. And he sees a rock. A gigantic rock. And he runs under it. And the storm just spends its fury upon that rock. Upon the sheltering rock and not upon the traveler. That's what Christ did for us. Before the law and justice of God. Before the wrath of God. Oh, what a great Savior. So let us consider that God in Christ is our hiding place. He's our shelter. He's our shelter. And in this life, we have storms, and we do, don't we? We do. Mysterious hurricanes within, even. Turmoil within. And without. Dreadful confusion of mind sometimes. We have winds come in our lives whose direction is uncertain, shaking everything, creating unrest and destruction. And a lot of times, there's no definite cause. The cause may be physical or circumstantial, but these trials do arise in our lives. Overwhelming tempests of spiritual distress on account of our sin. We can have unbelief or temptations which cause us distress. And every one of us struggle with the same thing. The same things. But we looked on Wednesday night that we're told not to fear in those circumstances. We're told to look to Christ. Because God is our God. And He'll keep us. And He'll preserve us. We need a hiding place, don't we? We need a refuge. We can be tossed about by these storms which rise up. And by attacks from those around us. And David knew. Turn with me if you would to Psalm 143. David knew. David knew what it was like to have God as his refuge. Psalm 143, verses 7 to 9. Oh, beloved, we face the trying gales of different things. Temporal loss, bereavement. But in all those things, Christ is our hiding place. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Verse 7. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like a man, or like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. In verse 9, deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Oh, that he be our hiding place. Hide me, Lord. Hide me when those gales and storms come. Hide me, Lord. And in all these things, Christ is the believer's hiding place. But there's a far greater storm that we can find no refuge from except in Christ Jesus. And that's the storm of divine anger and wrath. And lost communion with God. And actually, there's no refuge from any of the winds and trials that come up except Christ. But our only safety lies in getting out of those storms, isn't it? In finding a shelter where God has provided it. For thou hast been a stranger to the poor, a strength to the needy. In his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is a storm against the wall, Isaiah 25:4. A refuge from the storm. And they come. Beloved, we are poor, needy sinners. I like what one brother says. We're mercy beggars. Begging for mercy. Oh God, have mercy upon me. Psalm 32, verse 7 says this. Thou art my hiding place. Oh, Christ is the believer's hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. He's that rock that that traveler found refuge in. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 26. There is no refuge from the storm of God's justice and law, but in Christ. There's no other hiding place but in Him. Isaiah 26, verse 20 and 21. Come, my people. Enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of His place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth shall also disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Oh, here in these verses, we see all who are in Christ are safe. And our King will show, God will show mercy to those in Christ, but He also must be a just judge. And therefore, there is no safety outside of Christ. No safety. Only in Christ. As those in the ark were safe, and those outside perished. If you're in the ark of safety, if you're in Christ, you're safe. You're safe. Again, our text in verse 2 says, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, in a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Lord Jesus Christ is our hiding place from these storms. As I keep saying, there's only one hiding place, and that's Christ. Let us think on these things. He knows what we go through. He was tempted like us, yet without sin. He was thirsty and hungry, tempted like us, but without sin. The perfect, spotless Lamb of God. He knows what we go through. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 4. And John 14:30 says this, and this is a beautiful portion of Scripture. I'll just read this. It says, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. Now in us, there's lots in us. That the enemy could come and say, oh yeah, they're guilty. But in Christ, you see, He was sinless. There was nothing in Him. He was the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. Nothing that the enemy could accuse Him of. The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, Christ said. Sinless, absolutely sinless. Perfect, spotless. No sin at all. Look what Hebrews says here. Hebrews 4. Verses 14 and 15. Seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Perfect. No sin. Not a thought sin. Not a sin indeed. See, we can't even imagine that, can we? But he was absolutely sinless. God incarnate in the flesh. The perfect man. Tempted like we are. But with no sin. None. So he knows what we go through. Had he been a mere man, he could never save us. But he's the God-man mediator, the sinless one. He's ruling. Remember this too. He's ruling every tempest and trial we go through. And he's also our hiding place. Hiding us within the cleft of the rock. As that storm comes and just beats upon the rock. Think about it as the storm of God's wrath and justice just beat upon Christ. And we're hidden in him. And the great substitute bears it all. Bears it all. Therefore, he is the substitutionary man. Interposing and facing the storm for us. And a man shall be in hiding place from the wind, in a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. The sword of God's justice fell upon him. Everything God demanded for my sins and for all his people fell upon him. And he's like that rock. There comes that storm, just beating upon him. And he bears it, and he cries with a loud voice, "It is finished!" Oh, marvelous. Marvelous. We can only be sheltered from God's wrath in Christ and in him alone. He has endured the full penalty for sin, and he has turned away the wrath of God from his people. Turn with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 2. We'll be starting a study in Colossians on Wednesday nights in January. And what a marvelous, marvelous book Colossians is. Colossians chapter 2. And remember our state. Remember our state. We come into this world dead in trespasses and sins with no hope at all. Oh, but then when the Lord saves us, we're born again in the Spirit and our hope and rest is Christ. And look at this, Colossians chapter 2, verses starting in verse 13. And you, believers in Christ, and you, being dead in your sins, that was our natural state. Dead. In the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened. Born again. You must be born again. Hath he quickened together with him. Having forgiven you. Remember that storm? The storm of God's wrath beat upon Christ for the sins of his people, right? Having forgiven you all trespasses. There is not one left. All. Every thought sin we do, every spoken sin we do, every sin of affection, every sin of deed, for the believer, all their sins are forgiven. All of them. Blotting out. That means to whitewash in the Greek. Whitewash. It's gone. And with an anesthetic, it's gone. Whitewashing. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us and was contrary to us and took it out of his way. Nailing it to his cross. He satisfied God's law and justice for us in our room and place. He did it for the believer. In heaven spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. He's a triumphant king. He did it. He has saved his people from their sins. God's blood, the blood of Christ, has the power to pay all that God demands for the redemption of all his people. And as a man, he can die in our room instead as our substitute, in our place. Stead just means in our place. You often hear preachers say room instead. It's in our place. Christ died in the sinner's place, the substitute. He's a representative man, this man spoken of in our text. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind. He's a representative man. He's more than a conqueror. And he's glorified in heaven above. And in him we are delivered from divine wrath. In him we are covered from Satan's blasts. In him we dwell above all the trials by sweet fellowship with him. In him, we are victors over death. He's our all in all. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. Scripture declares in 1 Corinthians 1:30 and 31, declares this, but of him, are ye in Christ Jesus? And remember this, sinners. In Christ Jesus is the key phrase. In Christ Jesus. Who of God has made unto us wisdom. He's all wisdom to the believer. Righteousness. We saw earlier, the Lord our righteousness. His reign is a reign of righteousness. Sanctification means to be made holy. In Christ. Not in ourselves, but in Christ. We're made holy. And redemption. He paid it all. He paid it all. Why? Well, Scripture declares this wonderful phrase. I love this. That according as it is written, he that glory, let him glory in the Lord. We don't glory and boast in what we do. We glory and boast in what Christ has done. He did it all. See, and that's the difference with religion and grace. Religion likes to boast on what they do. Grace says, no, he did everything. He did it all. This man is the ever-living man. And because he lives, we will. We live also. He's the interceding man. It says, I have prayed for thee when Satan is seeking to destroy us. He's the mediator. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 5 and 6, this is the two verses. One verse here is the verse actually that the Lord used to drop the scales of Catholicism off my eyes. Where they tell you have to go to a priest and talk to a priest. No, there's only one mediator between God and man. But I had never read Scripture. Look at this beautiful verse. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God. There's only one. There's only one. And one mediator. There's only one mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Oh, he's the interceding man. He's our mediator between God and us. And he's the coming man. He's coming again. Folks scoff and say what they will, but the Lord, He will return in His time. Political catastrophes may come up or social disruptions, but He still reigns. Remember that. He reigns. And He will come again. There's no doubt. And he won't come back secretly like folks say about this rapture thing It's not going to be a secret rapture. It'll be very public. Turn with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 1. It's going to be very, very public. Oh, when He returns. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and everyone shall see Him. And everyone shall see Him. They also which pierced Him, and all the kings of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. And every eye shall see Him. It's going to be a very public event. Oh, the man, Christ Jesus, is the man mentioned in this text. Back to our text in Isaiah. And a man shall be in hiding place from the wind and covert from the tempest as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Rivers of water in a dry place. This speaks of the abundance and fullness of the grace of God in Christ. And we looked at that a little this morning. God's grace is superabounding grace. Rivers of water in a dry place. God's grace is sufficient for all His people. God is rich in mercy in Christ. God's grace is free. It's unmerited. It's in Christ. And it flows from the ocean of divine love to His people. It's like being out in the desert and you find rivers. Find an oasis. And a man shall be in hiding place from the wind, and in a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as shadows of a great rock in a weary land. The Lord Jesus Christ is like a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 61. And David in Psalm 61:2 will give us help on this high rock. Psalm 61, verses 1 to 4. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, think of this when you go through a trial or a temptation or something comes up. When our heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That's Christ. He is the rock that is higher than I. For Thou hast been a shelter. He's a hiding place. When a storm comes, what do? We seek shelter, don't we? Oh, seek shelter in Christ. Flee to Him. Seek shelter from God's wrath and law and justice. Seek it in Christ alone. Seek, may God make you willing to seek it. For Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in Thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of Thy wings. From the end of the earth, is any place of absence from the temple where God dwelt above the mercy seat. Truly a weary land. And then David says, I cry unto Thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Trouble comes, as I said, perplexing trouble, gnawing troubles, overwhelming troubles. Oh, we just rest in Christ. We just look to Him. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. If we would find the rock of ages, we are dependent upon His hand to lead us. He leads us and guides us all through the... We're so blind, we could never find Him. But His hand is powerful and tender. This rock is the rock which our God has laid. Isaiah 28:16 says this, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation." I used to do construction, and they lay that foundation down. If that foundation is not sure, all that, everything else is out of whack. Christ is the foundation stone. He's the foundation of our faith. In Him we rest. In Him we trust. Oh. And it is higher than I, because He is God. Christ is the believer's foundation. He's the believer's hope. The foundation that's sure. He's the fountain of the living water to the believer. He's a shade from the heat and a shelter from the storms of life. Back to our text, "And a man shall be in hiding place from the wind, in a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." Oh, may we take shelter in Christ. May we hide behind Him by faith. May He deliver us from all evil. May He be our shield and our protector. Psalm 119 says this, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in Thy word." We have no hope outside of Him. Oh, what a great God. What a wonderful Savior for His people. You that are here outside of Christ, the tempest is lowering. Come to the shelter. Hasten to the hiding place. Oh, that God, the Holy Spirit, would make you willing. Oh, that He'd draw you to Christ. Those of us who are saved, we found the hiding place because He's revealed Himself to us. Oh, that He might do so for you. Christ is the only refuge for sinners. Are you a sinner? Most folks don't think they are. But if God moves, He'll show you you're a sinner. And then you run. You flee to Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke. Luke chapter 14. In Adullam, all David's army could hide. So is Jesus able to receive a host of sinners host of sinners. Luke 14, verses 22 and 23. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, and this is when we preach the gospel, when it goes out on the internet, when it goes out anywhere, when you talk to someone, oh, that the Lord would compel them to come. And the Lord said unto the servant, go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Christ is the eternal hiding place. He's our dwelling place throughout all generations. There's only one way to be saved. And that's through Christ. May God give you the grace to flee to Him. Oh, may the Holy Spirit make you willing. Because every believer in here, He made us willing. And we're only saved by the grace of God in Christ.